I received a letter again, and in that letter there's a poem, a long poem, a very, very beautiful poem. My friends know that I like to read poems, so whenever they find a beautiful poem, they send it to me. So I read the poems and I enjoy them very, very much, and I read it again and again, and no matter how many times I read the poem again, I still get deeper and deeper meaning, get more and more interested in the meaning. And you know, sometimes when you are calm and peaceful and you read something, anything in a gatha or in a teaching of the Buddha, even a word or a sentence, you feel that very deeply. You feel the meaning. It's not just words anymore. It becomes a reality. Like say, for example, if you are a good meditator, most of you are meditating, so you know sometimes you get into a very peaceful and calm state of mind when your mind becomes balanced, equanimity. So when you have experienced that, whenever you see the word calm or peace or equanimity, immediately you can tune into your mind. You can tune your mind into that state. So that means when you read the word, you feel it. Your feeling and the meaning of the word get in tune. So if you really want to get deeper into the teaching of the meaning of the teaching of the Buddha, you have to live the meaning. You have to tune your mind, your heart, to the meaning of the word. Then you can feel it. So I feel the words. When I read something, I don't just read it, I feel it. It becomes a reality for me. So words stand for something else. And that something else is real. It is meaning. So words are representation. Just like the Buddha image, it's a representation. So when you look at the Buddha image, go beyond the image and see what this image represents. Representing peace, liberation, deep wisdom, loving kindness, compassion, unbounded compassion. It's amazing. You know, I try my best to love somebody unconditionally, and I found it very difficult. Every now and then some condition comes in. Oh, if only. If only he changed. If only he become better. If only he this or that. Always this if condition coming in. So sometimes I feel love for somebody unconditionally, and it was really tremendous, tremendous love. So most of the time, although we love people, we don't love them unconditionally. We still have some condition. We expect something. So what I mean is that when you hear something, go beyond words. Get in touch with the deeper meaning of it. Everything in this world has a hidden meaning. So get deeper to know that hidden meaning. So this is the poem. I don't know who wrote the poem. So it's a long poem. And if any one of you want to have a copy, it's quite easy to have to make it. So the heading of the poem is very interesting. It's Rules for Being Human. That's the heading, the title of the poem. Rules for Being Human. What are these rules for being human? We are human, but we need rules to live by. What are these rules? And what is this person trying to express? And this person, I think, must be a monk, or must have been, maybe he was a monk. I think this poem is a very old one. And when I read the poem and try to understand the context of the poem, I get the idea that one person is talking to another person, but this person, this other person, is going to be reborn as a human being. Going to be reborn, not yet a human being, but he's going to the human world. So another person who is much wiser is giving advice. Very interesting context to that. So try to listen it and get tuned into the reality of it. So the first, number one, is you will receive a body. You will receive a body. You don't have a physical body like human being yet, but you will receive a body. You may like it or hate it. That's very interesting. You may like it or hate it. Some of us like our body, but some of us don't like our body. Oh, I want to be taller. I want to be slim. I want to be fair. I want to be this, I want to be that. Some people say that, I don't want to be a woman, I want to be a man. So we don't like our body. Most people don't. Once in a while they like it. As you grow older and older, you don't like your body anymore. Oh, I'm getting old. I want to be young. I don't like this body anymore. So, you may like it or hate it, but it will be yours for the entire period this time around. It will be yours. So get deeper into the meaning. We get this body only for this lifetime. It's temporary. And it means that we had many, many bodies before. Many, many lifetimes. Many, many, many bodies before. I remember a few of my past lives. Very interesting. It gives you a very different perspective of life. And I know quite a few people who remember their past lives. And interestingly, I live with a person quite a few years when I was much younger, when I was just a monk of about 4 or 5 years standing. And that person at that time was a young novice, very young, in his early teenage. Now he's 35 or so, I don't remember exactly. He was a woman. He remembered his past life. Very detailed, even with emotions, even the emotions come again when he talks about that. We were very close and intimate. He looked after me very well. So he was just like my younger brother. He had children and he had husband. I don't know whether I can say that he had husband. Because he was a woman. What shall I say? It's not a she anymore. And he had husband. So he was a woman. And interesting, that husband, that old husband is still living. And those children are still living. And this person recognized that in detail. He remembered many details of his past lives. So when he was younger, he started talking about his past life. His parents suppress that, discourage him to talk about like that, because both families are quite well-to-do, quite rich. So this family think that if you talk like that, that family will think that you are expecting some material inheritance or something like that. You say, oh, I was that person, so I am entitled to some of my possessions in my past life. So some people claim like that too, even in Burma. It's mine, they say. Give it back to me. So his parents discouraged him. But he kept saying that, I want to go back home. I want to go back home. And his parents said, this is your home. He said, yes, this is my home and I have another home. So at last they can't stop him from doing that. So he went to the other home too. He felt at home there too. That were, he still felt had attachment for his children and his husband. Very surprising, you know. If you don't understand this background, you might think that this person is crazy. This feeling is abnormal, but it's not abnormal. It's normal. So I met him last year in January. He's not married. He said he will not get married. And he's looking after his mother and sisters. So he told me many details about his past life. I asked him every detail because I'm very, very interested in reincarnations, or people who can remember their past lives. And I asked him, how did you die? How old were you when you died? So he was in his 30s, early 30s when he died. And he died because, forgive me for using this word, he couldn't give birth to a child, or she couldn't give birth to a child. It's very difficult in Burma. In remote regions, you can't get medical help. So if anything goes wrong, nothing else you can do, you die. So he was in great pain and great terror when he died, when she died. So if it's possible to put these two words together and make one word, it'll be easier. He, she died. And he said, when I was dying, I thought, I'll never become a woman again. This is too much. This pain is too much. And he thought of becoming a man again. Because of whatever I did, good, meritorious deed, may I be reborn as a man. So you see, if you have good deeds and you have very strong determination or intention, aspiration, and that power of your good karma can give you that situation. Very interesting. So if you understand this very deeply, you can even prepare for your future life now. You can prepare for that now. It's not, it will not happen just because you wish it, but if you do the right thing, it will happen. That's how people develop their paramis, life after life, life after life. They develop their parami. So here you are in this body. Whether you like it or not, it's yours for this lifetime. Make the best use of it. Look after it. It's very important to look after our body, look after our mind too. And with this opportunity, we can do many things, we can learn many things. So most people, they just use this body to enjoy sense pleasure. And in many cases, they abuse the body. And also they abuse the mind. That is not the right thing to do. Use it very well. Look after it. And also enjoy it too. It's okay to enjoy. We enjoy our body. So you may like it or hate it, but it will be yours for the entire period this time around. And understand also that this body is only for this life. You will have more bodies, new bodies later. Different color, different shape, different height, different religion, different nationality. So just imagine that you can remember many of your past lives, actually for about 5 or 10 past lives. Once you were born in China, another time you were born in Japan and Japanese, another time you were born in Africa and you were an African, another time you were born in India and you were an Indian, and you believe in that culture, in that religion. Another time you were born in Europe, some European country, another time in America. And if you can remember all those things, how would you feel? You'll feel that the world is my home. And all the people and all the religion, it belongs to me. I learn a few things from all those religion and culture. You don't feel discriminated. You don't discriminate people anymore. You don't look down on people and culture anymore. So it's very important even to imagine that and accept that I could have been that and I could be that again. So if you can understand this, you become more humble, more open, more loving, more accepting. And to live your life with that sort of openness and humility and acceptance makes you feel happier, makes you feel free. Actually, we are making ourselves unhappy, unfree, because of our close-mindedness, our small mind. So make your mind big, make your heart big. Take in everything, everybody, all our relatives. We belong to each other, the whole world. So don't think that, oh, these people, they are so backward. They are secondary people. Some people look down on people like that. Like say, or Aborigines, all these Aborigines. Who can tell? You might become an Aborigine again. Maybe you were, who knows? So it's very important to think like that and to become humble, not to disrespect other people. And number two is very important. You will learn lessons. You will learn lessons. That's why we are here. We are here in this human body, in this human world, to learn. That's the main thing. So when I talk with many people who can remember their past lives, many of them, not all, but many of them express that they come here for a purpose. They want to do something. In the past life, they have very strong intention, very strong desire to do something, to learn something. Sometimes they do something for their loved ones, for their parents. So we are here to learn. If you understand this deeply, you'll find your life more satisfying, because you can learn something every day, anywhere, from anybody, from any experience in your life. So no experience is wasted. No experience is meaningless. Everything you experience is meaningful, whether it's a good experience or a bad experience, whether things are going well or whether things are going wrong. You can still learn something from that experience, and that's what we are here for. So if you have that sort of attitude and perspective, when you are going through some experience that you don't like, still you are interested. What can I learn from this experience? So you don't feel hopeless. You don't feel meaningless. So I think the most painful experience for me, especially, is to feel that something is meaningless. That's the most painful experience. Even though when I was going through many difficulties in my life, as long as I can see that as a meaningful experience, I can handle that, I can endure that. And I feel even happy about that. Every time I overcome a very difficult experience, I feel happy. Oh, I've been through that. I've not reacted in an improper way. I've handled that situation well. I've learned that, and I've grown up. I feel that I'm older. Whenever I went through a very difficult experience, after that, I feel that I've grown up many, many years. So, I feel quite young in my mind, but sometimes I feel like I'm a very... I've lived many, many years. I don't want to say I'm old, but I've lived many, many years. Not just 50. My age, my body age is 50. But my mental age is much more than that. I feel like that because every time I went through a difficult experience, I felt like I've grown up 10 more years. Another experience, 10 more years. I feel like that. So many people do that. It's not just me. I've talked with many of my friends. They said the same thing. Every time they experience some difficult situation and they keep their mind mindful, and they went through the experience mindfully, trying to do their best, trying to endure. After that, they feel themselves grown up. So some people grow up very quickly, even though they are in the teens, in the 20s, they think like an adult, they feel like an adult. So it's not just the number of years you are living, it's the way you live your life which makes you feel grown up. So younger people, I want I want you to think about it. It's not your age that makes you feel grown up. It's the way you relate to your experience that makes you feel grown up. So if you want to become grown up, grow up, relate to your experience in a very meaningful way, mindfully. Try your best to do the right thing. Don't just react. Don't blow up. Learn something from your experience. You'll feel grown up. And you'll feel very happy and satisfied. Even for that suffering, you feel satisfied. So we cannot avoid suffering altogether. It's impossible. But we can make our suffering meaningful. That's very important, meaningful. And when you can make your suffering meaningful, you feel somehow satisfied. Even though you suffer, you feel satisfied. You feel happy about suffering even. This human mind is very... interesting. Even though you suffer, you feel happy. You go through this suffering happily. That's what most of the bodhisattvas practice. They go through suffering willingly. So we are here to learn, not just to enjoy sense pleasures. These days, especially in the Western world, people are making this sense pleasure the main goal of their life. And that's why they are unhappy. If you make pleasure the main goal of your life, you will be unhappy. But if you make learning the main goal of your life, you'll find deep happiness and satisfaction. every now and then you'll find that. So, you will learn lessons. We are here to learn lessons. And here's another thing that I talked about yesterday even. Start thinking about yourself as a lifetime student at a large university. A lifetime student at a large university. Your curriculum is your total relationship with the world you live in. That's your curriculum. That's what you're going to study. Your total relationship with the world you're living. From the moment you're born to the moment you die. The whole lifetime. Each experience is a valuable lesson to be learned. The trick is simply to make whatever place you are in your educational forum and learn everything you can about yourself and the world around you. That is education, to learn about yourself and to learn the world around you, to learn about people. These days people are learning more technical knowledge, but they don't know enough about themselves, about their mind. They don't know enough about people. So relationships are very bad, misunderstanding, too much misunderstanding. Even parents and children, they misunderstand each other. Husband and wife misunderstand each other. Friends, colleagues. So sometimes they keep a distance. I don't want to get involved with anybody. Too painful. You become more and more lonely, more and more alienated. So it's very sad actually. We human beings are very intelligent, but we are not using our intelligence in the best way we can. We are being misdirected. Who is that that's doing that? All the industries, all those people who want to make money, they are trying to tell us, enjoy more, sense pleasure, more gadgets, more things. No deep understanding about our mind, no deep understanding about people around us. We don't understand our parents, parents don't understand children, husbands don't understand their wife don't understand the husband. No real understanding. So how can we feel joy? We don't feel love, actually. We give each other, but we expect something back. To give something with expectation is not giving at all. It's bargaining. It's barter system. So you are enrolled in a full-time informal school called Life. You are enrolled in a full-time informal school called Life. No classroom, no textbook. The whole life is your lessons. Each day in this school, you will have the opportunity to learn lessons. Each day, every day. But once in a while we learn lessons. When something terrible happens, then we think, what have gone wrong? What have I done wrong? Once in a while we learn something. And even then, we forget the lessons again. We forget what we learn and we do the same mistake again and again. So try understand that each day, every hour, every moment, there's something to learn. So each day in this school, you will have the opportunity to learn lessons. You may like the lessons or think them irrelevant or stupid. So try to see. If you get interested in the lesson, you learn more. It's the same thing when you go to school. If you are not interested in the lessons, you don't learn much because you have resistance. If you get interested, if you are willing to learn, you can learn so much. Even from one sentence, you read one sentence. Sometimes I read one sentence and mull over the sentence, thinking round and round, get so much out of this one sentence. Even one gatha in Pali also, I read one sentence and tune into the meaning, deeper and deeper meaning of the sentence. So when you are willing to learn, you can learn. Nobody can really teach you. People come here to teach, to be taught. I cannot teach you. But if you are willing to learn, you learn. I can only help you. So, don't think that whatever happening in your life is irrelevant. Everything has meaning. Every single thing has meaning. Even a look, a smile, a gesture. And number three is, there are no mistakes. Only lessons. Which is the same as what I said just now. When something happens, don't think that this shouldn't happen. this is a mistake. Whatever happens has a reason to happen. Enough reason to happen, that's why it happens. Without enough reason, without enough cause, nothing can happen. So whatever happens, don't think that it's a mistake, that it shouldn't be. So look deeply and learn something from that. Growth is a process of trial and error. This is really true. Growth is a process of trial and error. We make mistakes, we make experiments. Things are always changing, the times are always changing. So nobody can really tell you exactly what to do. But they can give you guidance, like the teaching of the Buddha is a good guidance. But there are many other situations where you don't have any guidance. You don't really know what to do. So you try your best to do what you can, and if it doesn't give you the good result, find out how you can change your attitude, your way of doing it, your way of talking, your behavior. Try to learn some more and do it again. So life is a series of experiments, experiment after experiment. It goes on and on until you die. This experiment never ends. And the whole samsara is an experiment actually. So if you look at it that way, you get more interested. Oh yes, I learn and I change and I grow up. So growth is a process of trial and error, experimentation. Those who don't experiment, don't grow up. Those who don't make mistakes and correct their mistakes, don't grow up. Some people make mistakes, but they don't correct their mistake. They still make the same mistake again and again, they don't grow up. So whenever you make a mistake, if you correct your mistake, you grow up. And that's the happiest thing in life. You know that you are learning and growing. You become more and more mature. You feel at ease. The more you learn, the more you feel at ease. The failed experiments are as much a part of the process as the experiment that ultimately works. Some experiments ultimately work. You do something, it turns out just the way you expected. You get good results and you feel happy. And sometimes you do something hoping that it will be good, something will happen, something nice will happen, but no, things went wrong. So even that experiment which failed is a lesson. Actually, we learn more from our mistakes. We learn more from what went wrong than from what went right. That's the way I feel it. I made a lot of mistakes in my life because I was very stubborn. I won't listen to anybody. I won't take any advice. So I made a lot of mistakes. Went through a lot of problems, difficulties, caused a lot of unhappiness to my parents and to myself too. But slowly and slowly I learned from my mistakes. I admit that, yes, this is a mistake. I was wrong. So even though you made a lot of mistakes and sometimes you feel sad that it caused so much unhappiness to other people and to yourself too, but when you learn from that mistake, you feel happy about that again. I've learned the lesson. So don't expect that we should not make a mistake. And when somebody else make a mistake, don't judge too harshly. Help him to learn, to correct his own mistake and grow up. That's what we are here for, to experiment, to make mistakes and learn from our own mistakes. And number four, which is related, is a lesson is repeated until learned. Be very careful. If you don't learn from your mistake and do the same mistake again, you'll be in the same difficult situation again and again in this life and in many other lives too. A lesson is repeated until learned. If you are unkind, you do something wrong. If you don't correct yourself, you'll be in a difficult situation again to learn that. A lesson will be presented to you in various forms until you have learned it. In various forms. So whenever you get into a difficult situation, don't blame other people. Some people say that, oh, things are always going wrong with me. People are very unkind to me. They cheat me all the time. They are very judgmental, treat me badly. So you complain a lot. Look deeply and find out that you might be doing something wrong, or you might have the wrong attitude. You are not, you don't understand yourself, you don't understand people. There is something wrong, that's why you are going through so many difficulties. I know a few people like that. I try to help them, but sometimes it's very difficult to help because they don't want to admit that they need to change. They always expect that somebody else changed. My parents changed, my brothers changed, my husband changed, my wife changed, but not me. I don't have anything to change. I'm just perfect. And those who think that they are just perfect go through a lot of difficulties. A lot of difficulties. So, a lesson will be presented to you in various forms until you have learned it. And when you have learned it, you can then go on to the next lesson. When you have learned a lesson, the lesson's not over, there's another lesson for you to learn. Something deeper and more meaningful. So the more lesson you learn, the deeper and deeper you get into the meaning of life. The more you develop your wisdom, your spirituality. So these mistakes are good lessons for us. I learn even from my, so to speak, from my anger, from my greed, from my pride. Pride happening, arising, and because of that I do something, I say something, and it hurts me again and again. So what hurts you most is not others. It's your own attitude. It's your own defilements that hurts you more than anything else. Number five is, learning lessons does not end. There is no part of life that does not contain its lessons. So here, a few younger people here, now you have something to learn. At this age, you have a lot to learn. And you grow up, more to learn. And you grow older, more to learn. Until you die, until the moment you die, there is still something to learn. So I aspire to learn until the last moment of my life. Just before I die, I want to feel that experience. I want to learn from that experience, dying. In fact, I've been very, very close to death quite a few times. So, there's no part of life that does not contain its lessons. If you are alive, there are lessons to be learned. If you are alive, there are lessons to be learned. So, don't think that, oh, I've learned quite a lot. I know quite a lot, I've grown up. No, there's still to learn. No matter how old you are, no matter how much you have learned, there's still to learn. Number six, there is no better than here. There is no better than here. So we are always expecting something to happen in our future. We don't live here and now. We always project into the future. Something will happen. Something better will happen in the future. But for older people, I think some people will think that something better happened in the past, but not now. Nothing is happening now anymore. Everything is over. Just waiting to die. No, here and now, a lot of things happening. A lot of things to learn. So whether we project into the future or we think about the past, don't think that anything is better. Right here and now, it's the best time. So I've read a story by Count Leo Tolstoy when I was very young. Empty Drums and Other Stories, a book, I read that. And in that story, in this empty drum story, one king asked one person, his minister, his advisor, who is the most important person? And what is the most important time and what is the most important thing to do? And many people gave him many different answers. And he was not satisfied with the answers. One day he was in his pleasure park and somebody came running and fell down near him. And this person has a wound. So the king suddenly, immediately helped this person to stop the bleeding and put the dressing and made the person feel better. And a few moments later, his soldiers came and said, this person is trying to kill the king. He's the enemy. He came here to kill the king, but the soldiers found him out and then did something, hit him, so he got hurt, wounded. And at that moment, this one very wise advisor, minister, said, "Well, Your Highness, I have your answer now." And he said, "What's the answer?" He said, "The most important person now is this wounded person. And the most important time is now, and the most important time to do is to do something for this person." Which means that right now is the most important time, and what you are doing right now is the most important to do, and who you are with right now is the most important person. So here, all of you are the most important person for me. And what I am doing now is the most important thing for me to do now. And this time is the most important time. So don't think of future and past too much. Learn from the past experience. Try to plan for your future, but do the right thing now. Then you'll be happy. So, there is no better than here. When your there has become a here, when your there has become a here, you will simply obtain another there that will again look better than here. That's what we've been doing all our life. Things will be better in the future, always in the future. Distant grass looks greener. So do the best you can now and enjoy it, love it. Others, number seven is, others are merely mirrors of you. They reflect you back. Some people said, "Oh, people are very unkind." That's what you reflect yourself. "Oh, people are very selfish." You are reflecting. You are projecting and it reflects you back. So, for me, wherever I go, I meet kind people. Very kind people, very friendly, very helpful. Sometimes they want to help me so much that I have to say, "Thank you, thank you." They want to help. People want to help, actually. But you need to be worthy of that help. That's what you need to do. Be worthy of love, kindness, help. If you are worthy, you get it. So if you don't get anything in your life, don't blame anybody else. You don't get it because you are not worthy. That's really true. If you are really worthy, you'll get it. So others are merely mirrors of you. You cannot love or hate something about another person unless it reflects to you something you love or hate in yourself. So greedy people think that others are greedy. Selfish people think that others are selfish. Conceited people think that others are conceited. And if you hate about another person about something, take your time and see that that's what you might be doing. That's how you are. So number eight is, what you make of your life is up to you. So that means you have some sort of control and freedom to make your life better. Not perfect, not an ideal, but at least you can do something that makes your life better right now. Even now you can do something to make you a better person. Just change your thoughts. Just have a kind thought, loving thought. Immediately you are a better person. So, what you make your life is up to you. You have all the tools and resources you need. We think that we don't have the necessary tools and resources. We want to wait until we get those tools and resources to do something better. But you already have that. Just you smile. Really wholeheartedly to another person. It makes you feel better, it makes others feel better. You're doing something good, just say hello, good morning. I walk around this block sometimes, most of the mornings I walk around. And when I meet a person, I nod my head or I smile. And mostly I say hello or good morning. And 8 out of 10 person reply my greeting. Sometimes they greet me first. They greet me, "Hello, good morning." So people are kind, you know. What you do with them is up to you. The choice is yours. You can do quite a lot. Maybe you are trying to do something that others are doing, and you cannot do that. But if you do what you can do quite a lot. I read about a person who had no legs. He sits in a chair. He had no education because he was a gangster when he was young, and he got shot, wounded. And after that happened to him, he started loving people. He became more and more kind and started talking to children, giving them advice, good advice. And he made people laugh and become cheerful. He became a better person. He cannot become the president of a country, but he can do quite a lot for himself and other people. He can become a better person. And number 9 is, your answers lie inside you. That is very important to know, because we are looking for answers outside, always in the book, and asking other people. It's necessary to learn books, learn from books and learn from other people also, but it is more important to look deep inside. That is meditation, to look deep inside and find out the answer. So this is what my teacher told me before he died. He passed away. Many people ask him many questions. I ask him many questions too. And he told me that, be more mindful, look deep inside. You'll find your own answer. He was not just playing words. This is the truth. Whatever you learn, very deeply, you learn from your own experience, from your own mind. You can learn knowledge from books and from other people. That's only knowledge, that's not wisdom. But based on that knowledge, you look deeply into your heart, into your mind, meditate, and then you'll find wisdom there. This is true, this is not a play of words. So, your answers lie inside you. Believe that, find that answer inside you. There's deep peace, deep peacefulness, and deep wisdom in you. So the answers to life's questions lie inside you. All you need to do is look, listen, and trust. Look, listen, and trust. We don't really trust ourselves as much as we should. So look deeply, listen, and trust. We are much wiser than we think we are, actually. And we are much more foolish too, actually. We are very foolish too, but we are also wiser. Once in a while, we are very wise. So if we get in touch with that wiser part of our being, we become wiser and wiser. So if you are more and more mindful and willing to learn, honestly, your mind will tell you what is right, what is wrong, what makes you feel painful, what makes you feel happy, what makes you feel peaceful. You learn from your own body and mind. This body and mind is very sensitive. Even a thought, an unwholesome thought, if you think about it, if you are mindful, you know that it hurts. Even a thought hurts so much. So if you are wise, you can learn from your heart beats faster, your blood rush. Just think of some unkind, angry thought. I want to kill that person. And listen to your body. It will tell you, no good, don't do that. It's so painful. So be more sensitive to your body and mind. It is a very sensitive instrument. It can tell you even slight changes in your thought, emotion. So every thought carries an emotion, and every emotion affects the body and mind again. And if you can tune into that effect, you will know how things affect you. Whenever you see something, it affects your body and mind. You hear something, it affects your body and mind. You think about something, it affects your body and mind. You eat something, it affects your body and mind. So if you are just sensitive and mindful, you can learn a lot from your body and mind. It will tell you the right thing. And when you are doing something wrong, it will tell you this is wrong. When you are doing something right, it will tell you this is right. And if you just follow that guidance, you can go straight to liberation, peace. So trust your body and mind. And we have come to the last, number 10. And that's the greatest thing. I mean, that's the greatest danger. Number 10 is only one sentence. You will forget this. My goodness. If I forget all this, then what will happen? I'll be in danger, so don't forget. So it's just the time to conclude our meeting today. I'm very glad to have this opportunity to talk with you, to express and to share my knowledge. I hope you enjoy that, and I hope you also learn something, remember something, and most important, put into practice. So, will you pay respect to the Buddha now? I'll recite in Pali, and if you can, just follow, and then we'll say that in English too. Imaya Dhammanu Dhamma Patipatiya Buddham Pujemi. I honor the Buddha by this very practice which leads to liberation. Imaya Dhammanu Dhamma Patipatiya Dhammam Pujemi. I honor the Dhamma by this very practice which leads to liberation. Imaya Dhammanu Dhamma Patipatiya